things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hello, listeners.
Hi.
This is Taylor and Jenny, and we recorded the episode you are about to listen to about 2 weeks ago, before we knew about what was happening in our world.
Before the current state of chaos and revolution that we're in right now.
Uprising. So we just wanted to take a moment and have a couple moments of silence in honor of George Floyd, who was murdered, and Breonna Taylor, who it would be her birthday today. She would be 27 years old.
Celebrating her birthday. We're going to take 8 minutes and 48 seconds of silence to remember the struggle that we don't always see
or understand. And we hope you take this time with us to just reflect, and hopefully we can enact some sort of change. And here's to remembering
all a long of those. List of names that is too long to bear.
Yep. So thank you, and hopefully you take this time to sit in silence. Sit in the uncomfort.
Be uncomfortable.
Yep. So we'll see you in 8 minutes and 48 seconds. Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you, Taylor?
It's going very well, Jenny. I am full, as usual, because you fed me.
It's what I'm called to do.
Oh, it's so good. Tell them what you made me.
I made a type of pot. First I sauteed onion and apples, and then I deglazed the pan with brandy. I laid down a bed of root vegetables like carrots and sweet potatoes, and then I made a roast. I sat the roast on top and I slow cooked it for 6 hours.
My panties are wet.
My stomach is full.
Yes.
It was good stuff.
Oh, that was so good.
We're going to do a spin-off food podcast.
Yeah. That's our thing. We tell them what we ate every episode.
Oh, we can post a picture of it with the collage.
This episode brought to you by...
Pot Roast!
Recipe by Jenny.
Welcome to Jenny's Food Amateur Hour.
Yes.
Also known as A Little Bit Grim.
Yeah, if you are lost on the internet and you happen to find our podcast, you are... hanging out with us.
You're a little bit grim. You're in a weird place.
Welcome.
Glad to have you.
Hope you like weird stuff.
We talk about ooky spooky stuff. It's ooky spooky outside. And today, Taylor and I...
conspiracies.
We're going to conspire about some weird stuff.
Yes.
Collectively.
This was a lot easier than last cycle's conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got into the groove of... a little bit more, like, research and all that kind of stuff, but then also being okay with non-facts.
Non-facts. We had to let it go. I had an easier release than you did.
This is pretty conspiracy-y.
Conspiracy-y?
Yes.
What conspiracy are you going to tell me about?
Well, first of all, I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a favorite Avril Lavigne song?
He was a boy. She was a squirrel.
Oh,
can
my.
Can I make it any more obvious?
Okay. All right.
I had to change up the word so we don't get copyright.
That's true. Oh. Well, I mean, we're probably going to get sued by Avril Lavigne for me telling you the story.
Is she still around?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Okay. Talk to me about her.
Okay. So Avril Lavigne was born September 27th, 1984.
Ew. A little post-Christmas, babe.
Post-Christmas?
December 27th.
September 27th.
Oh, well, technically, that was post-Christmas the year before.
We're all post-Christmas if we try hard enough.
Okay, comprehensive listening. Here we go.
All right. So she was born September 27th, 1984. She was always into music, and she actually appeared on stage with Shania Twain by the time she was 15, and that's literally my entire dream. I'm so mad that I wasn't there or didn't know about it, and I couldn't find a YouTube link. Because they also sang a song that's off Shania Twain's very first album, which not many people know about. It is a self-titled album, and there's a song called What Made You Say That? And I love this song so hard.
There's a crazed look in your eyes right now.
Shania Twain is... she holds a very special place deep in my soul.
Okay.
So, to have missed the opportunity to see them both... is shattering to me. So Avril Lavigne's debut album, Let Go, was released in 2002 when she was 18.
Ah.
Let me tell you that I was obsessed with Avril Lavigne.
Okay. With the ties and the tank tops and the eyeliner just on the bottom.
Just on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I had the black and red Van, like, skater shoes.
Oh. Yeah, of course you did.
The biggest, baggiest cargo black pants with a camouflage green tank top.
So this is what? We were 13? 12?
12.
12.
12, 13, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't really get into Avril until I was like 14.
Oh, what a fun stage.
Ugh.
Love, like, late middle school.
Yeah, I was a moody, dramatic teenager, and...
MySpace was a thing.
Oh, Lord. I remember one of my best friends, Abby, if she knew that I was listening to Avril Lavigne on the bus, she would move to seats because she was like, I don't want to be around you if you're going to be like this. That is not an exaggeration.
Good call, Ab.
I would just, like, cry. Oh, God, it was bad luck.
Are you ugly crying to Avril Lavigne on the bus to school?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I used to do that to Lucky by Britney Spears.
Oh, I love that song. That's a good one.
So it was a whole mood.
A vibe.
It was a vibe. So her look, vibe, persona was pop punk, skate punk. She was deemed the emo princess. And she told all of us emo kids that it was okay to be emo and like bright colors. So I felt like she kind of like shepherded in like a bunch of other like fringe emo people that were like, but I still like pink. And she was like, girl, come on. Pink. Yeah. So let's get down to conspiracies. So people think, they actually think that Avril Lavigne is dead. They think this in their heart and their soul. That she's dead.
Is she dead? She's not dead. She's
not dead.
Okay.
I don't think.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
You're about to change my mind.
They think she's dead and she has been replaced by a body double named Melissa Vandella.
I'm sorry, what?
Uh-huh. What? Oh, yeah. They think that the person that we think is Avril is not actually Avril Lavigne.
Ew. I hope you have evidence.
I have what they call evidence, okay. And I call it plastic surgery.
Oh, okay.
So, they do have some, like, additional evidence, which we'll get into the evidence here in a minute, but, yeah. So, supposedly, Avril and the label hired Melissa before any of these rumors started as a decoy for paparazzi. So, they said Avril, like, really hated the spotlight. She just wanted to make music. She didn't handle the paparazzi well or interviews or fans.
She was, like, young when she got...
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I can understand that.
Think Billie Eilish of the early 2000s. William Eyelash.
Oh, sweet baby.
Love her.
Yeah. So there are two main theories on how she died. One is way more prevalent than the other, but the first one is a snowboarding accident, and they think that that could have happened in 2013.
Okay.
But the one that definitely is the rumor mill that circles around the Twitterverse is that she committed suicide.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the snowboarding accident real quick. A report surfaced in 2013 saying that Lavigne died in a snowboarding accident. The report is by Global Associated News, and it reads, the singer-songwriter and novice snowboarder was vacationing at the Whistler Blackcomb Ski Resort, located 125 kilometers north of Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, with family and friends.
I forget she's Canadian.
Yeah, she is. Witnesses indicate that Avril Lavigne lost control of her snowboard and struck a tree at a high rate of speed.
Ooh.
They tried to resuscitate her, but she died on impact.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, Global Associated News is an entertainment-based website, and there is a disclaimer on their website that says that this is fake news.
Oh.
So.
That's a pretty good indication that this is not real news.
It's like The Onion.
Oh, okay.
Everybody kind of knows that it's fake, except for when you get to the boomers and then they share stuff. And you're like, no. No, this didn't happen. So that is the snowboarding accident theory. But the suicide theory is the one that most people, air quote, believe.
Okay.
When she got famous, she couldn't handle the paparazzi and stardom that came with her success, like I said. And her grandfather died in 2003. So people say that she started to not act like herself in interviews. She actually had a show the day her grandfather passed away, and she dedicates a song to him that night. And I actually watched this clip, and it's super sad. But she dedicates the song to him, and she says, I'm dedicating the song to my grandpa that actually passed away today. And I think we don't really think about celebrities and stars that they go through losses like we do, and sure. They can't just drop everything.
No.
And take... 5-day bereavement.
No.
Like,
they should be able to.
Yeah, they should. So she had a sold out show that day.
And did she do it?
She still did the show.
That makes me devastated for her.
Right. And the same thing happened with Vanessa Hudgens a couple years ago. Her father died and she performed Grease Live that night.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
How?
A sheer force of will.
I can't.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. That is so far beyond the realm of me figuring out how to function.
Well, and like when that, like unfortunately, you and I and a lot of our other friends have gone through this.
Yeah.
And like the day that I heard, like when I first heard that my dad, I don't even remember like the first month, really. Mm-hmm. It was such a blur of like shock
in grief. It is insane to me that somebody was then able to go out and do
a show,
performance.
Yeah. The only thing that I can think is, like, my mom was very sick during our time in marching band.
Mm-hmm.
In performing shows that I had memorized step for step was the only thing that I could count on that meant, like, I knew where my next steps was.
It was literally a controlled environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I can see it in that aspect where she knew every single thing that was going to happen for 2 hours straight.
It was a comfort.
And it was autopilot.
To be in routine.
Right.
Okay.
It still is beyond me how...
We need a psychologist to weigh in on this, please. Marta, what's going on?
Right. So... So Avril still did her show that night, and she broke down when she was talking about how her grandfather had passed away that day. I can't imagine being at that show.
No.
And I would be like, take my
just
money and
go home.
Go home.
You're dismissed.
Sweet pea. God. She was 19.
Oh my God.
19. And she and her grandfather were so close. He supported her in everything she did.
Oh.
She was so heartbroken when he died.
May we all be so lucky to have somebody like that in our lives.
Absolutely. So, theorists believe that she hung herself, and there may be some clues in her music. So, one lyric that stood out to me was, don't leave me hanging in a city so dead, held up so high on such a breakable thread.
Oh.
Which I had never thought of as...
No, like a
suicidal tendency.
No.
Nope.
Well, did she write her own songs? Did she have ghostwriters? Don't pop stars have ghostwriters?
I think she wrote all of her own songs on her first album, Complicated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which that is from Let Go, Losing Grip. Yeah. So because the label was making so much money off of her music, they decided to keep Melissa on and make her into Avril. The rumor is that when they brought Melissa on, she and Avril actually became really, really good friends. And Avril brought Melissa into the studio and, as a joke, like, taught her how to sing like her and how to act like her so she could be more convincing doing tours and stuff.
Okay.
So that's why she can sing like Avril.
Okay.
There was a Brazilian blog called Avril Esta Muerta, speculated several years back about the singer's death, pointing out that there were inconsistencies in her skin. Images used on this blog have repeatedly appeared online to both support and dispute this claim. So,
as much as I wish I had the same skin that I had at 19 as I do now, unfortunately, that is not the case.
Right. So we're completely comparing Avril Lavigne as 19 to what she would look like today as a 34-year-old.
Listen. Well, yeah, this conspiracy could apply to anybody in the age difference between when they were 19 to 30. Anybody who I went to high school with, like, they would look at me now and be like, I'll know her.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So that part kind of to me is just very, people not only like their face changes as they grow older,
but
if you have all of the money dollars, you can pay people to change a face.
I would like to change people to.
I will
pay people, change people,
change your face?
Yes.
Got it.
Pay them to do so. Taylor, edit that out.
No. So there is some proof here. So a lot of these, I just think that they're grasping. But one of the things that people really, really like tie their beliefs to is that her fashion has changed. She moved from being tomboyish with the ties and the tank tops to goth, wearing the black tutus, to more feminine, where she was wearing tight jeans and high heels. I can go through that entire menagerie of different outfits in like 2 weeks. That is not a body double.
No.
You're allowed to change your
vibe. You can go
out
in your PJs.
You're allowed to do what you want. Another thing that people look to is her music style. In the beginning, she was super grungy on her first album and a little bit more mainstream in later work. I mean, yeah, she wants to be famous.
We're watching the evolution of an artist.
Yeah.
Is this like conspiracy theory, just like an overarching theme of like how celebrities like sell out and become part of this like big corporate a cog in the machine.
Yeah. It's Yeah. Okay, so the next one is the only one that I'm truly like,
Okay.
Remember. There are a few handwriting samples that they have.
Oh.
That Avril used to write really close together and messy. But on her Instagram, you can see pictures of her now, or Melissa, handwriting, and it's very spaced out and very pretty. So
I will say even my handwriting changed.
My handwriting changed a little, but not a whole lot.
My handwriting changed a lot from the time I graduated high school till now.
Yeah, you've always been interested in, like, calligraphy and that stuff, too. So I think that you're more aware of what your handwriting looks like.
That's very true.
So, I will post all of these pictures. I have pictures of her handwriting next to each other.
I would be interested to see. I have to tell you, handwriting forensics to me is deeply fascinating.
Absolutely.
The science of it. We're gonna have to do, like, a true crime theme episode that, like, involves handwriting analysis.
Yeah, they actually caught a Nazi living in America a few years ago.
That Netflix show?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah. Taylor.
Amazing.
If you have not seen that, go watch it. It's The Devil Next Door is what it's called. And you're going to have to take mental breaks. You're going to have to step away from the TV, pause Netflix.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. I watched that a while ago, and then there's a Forensic Files about it, too.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
I love Forensic Files.
It's so good. 20 minutes of your life.
Mm-hmm. So worth it.
Spent well.
Turns into 4 hours, but sure.
Right. So there are a couple of photos that are pointed to as proof. Avril once posed with the name Melissa written on the back of her hand. Like,
what? Why?
I don't know. But there, it's like it looks like a promo picture.
Oh.
Like, she looks like she's getting ready to fight somebody. She's got her fists up, and on her front fist, Melissa is written on the back.
Weird.
And it's not like, oh my gosh, if you zoom in just the right way, it looks like Melissa was in pencil. No, it's like black marker, like, inch tall letters on the back of her hand. It's very weird.
Okay.
And then the new Avril is more glamorous. She's got bleach blonde hair. She curls her hair. She does her makeup. She's not wearing just her eyeliner on the underside of her eyes. So they look to that as proof that it is a different person. Which, if this is the facts that we're basing, that we're different, that Avril Lavigne is a different person, people in high school would be like, Taylor's a body double.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. All of us.
Everybody.
Every single person.
Right. So, in reality, coming back around to the facts.
Oh, God. You can't stay away for too long.
Nope. Avril was diagnosed with Lyme disease and took 3 years off from music. So, where these conspiracy theorists are like, yeah, she's not making new music anymore because she ran out of songs that Avril had written, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, Avril Lavigne was literally sick in bed for 3 years.
Lyme disease is not a joke.
No.
It is absolutely devastating.
Right. So, she actually married the Nickelback frontman, Chad Kroeger.
I feel like Nickelback's lead singer's first name would be Chad.
Of course it is.
It's a very Chad band.
It is.
Yeah.
So they got married, but they got divorced in 2015. They look at her changing her style, her vibe, her outlook on the world all the time. That's how the world works.
People evolve.
People change.
Let people change without you thinking that they're dead.
Yeah.
And it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers over here.
Right. So just some examples that I thought of, like Katy Perry. Like, think about what she looked like when she first broke the scene and what her songs were like. And, Gaga. How much has Gaga changed?
I love Mother Monster's evolution. I am horny for Lady Gaga. She's everything.
She's amazing.
She is.
And Madonna.
I don't know a whole lot about her.
I know that she changes her whole persona and style every, like, 5 to 10 years.
Good for her.
I mean, just, like, 180.
It's like a butterfly.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
If we thought that Madonna died every time she changed her look, we would be at level 13 Madonna. Ridiculous.
That's fair.
Avril has actually responded to these rumors, saying that they are stupid and weird. But
well, I tend to agree with her. Yeah. But like, also, if you were a body double, what would you say? Be like, that's very bizarre that you would think such a strange and unusual thing that is not true at all.
Right. Like, she's not going to come out and be like, you caught me. I mean, unless she's like...
The facade is over. Maybe she's on like a 10-year contract.
Maybe. Maybe we'll find out about all her lies here in the next 10 years.
I won't hold my breath, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think that we have a body double, Avril. Maybe my goal for this whole podcast will just be a conspiracy theory that I believe.
What if... Now, let me throw this at you.
All right.
What if this... Because you know how there's, like, all these articles come out all the time. Like, Tom Hanks died. And then Hanks will tweet and be like, I'm actually still alive.
Betty White.
What if we're on, like, our 37th Betty White?
Oh, my gosh. What if it's the lizard people?
Stop. Throwback.
What if it's the lizard people who are taking over our celebrities, our beloved actors and actresses and musicians... Because we will follow them. We'll do whatever they want. I would do whatever Betty White wanted me to do.
You can't say no to Betty White.
Well, have you ever tried?
How can you disappoint such a sweet, sweet lady? Oh, such a joy.
She's America's
treasure.
She is. We will protect her with our lives.
I will.
And I would bet. Hopefully she's not a lizard.
Even if she was, I would follow my sword for Betty White any day. It's funny that you bring up lizards because I am... apparently stuck in an alien rabbit hole.
Give it to me. I love aliens.
So, I don't get scared. I said it before. I don't get spooked about demons. I don't get spooked about ghosts. Mm-hmm. Like, I know if there's a ghost in my house, I will, like, lay out a crystal grid, and we will have a civil conversation, and then they will show themselves out.
Uh-huh.
Aliens? Aliens, bro?
This is, like, the second story that you're like, I don't get spooked, but...
But aliens! Aliens! You can't control them. And, like, here's the thing. I just,
we're taking off our glasses
I have to
now.
Take my glasses off. We're like, really? I have my tinfoil hat here. I do not foresee any kind of reality where we are the only cognizant life in the universe.
Absolutely not. It's not possible.
It's literally, like...
There is some, like, alien form out there saying the same shit, though. Somebody else is like, we can't be alone!
We're not the only ones!
Right, and they're smarter than us, so they're gonna come find us first.
Yeah. They're already here.
Tell me everything.
So, this is a really fun crossover of aliens and the government.
Ooh, fun.
I'm about to tell you about Project Preserving Destiny.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
So... This actually, a lot of you, like, listeners may not know, but, like, me and Taylor's duo was actually a tribe of three,
mm-hmm.
and our third counterpart, Britt, loaned me this book.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what book I'm about to talk about? When I was 18 years, she had no business giving me this book, by the way.
She didn't know it was going to trip you out for the next decade.
She didn't know that 13 years later, here we are, mind still blown about this book, which is called Above Black.
Yeah.
So, let me just start.
Okay.
Spending 12 years in the United States Air Force, D.L. Sherman became deeply involved in one of the most classified projects in military history. His involvement was more than just a military assignment. It was his life. He and a handful of others were chosen before they were even conceived in the womb in cooperation with the U.S. government. To be genetically altered for the purposes of being able to intuitively communicate with an alien race whom our government has been in contact with since 1947.
That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. In Project Preserve Destiny, an insider account of an alien government cover-up, Mr. Sherman chooses to break the silence that has gripped the military classified community for 50 years so that the river of alien-related information can finally begin to flow.
Interesting. All right.
Interesting. So there's a brief little synopsis. Now, I'm about to read you snippets from the intro that he wrote of this book.
All right.
Okay. The story documented in this book is an authentic first-level account of the existence of aliens. My hope is that it will be considered by historians as the book that opened the gate to the flow of relevant and concrete information regarding the existence of life other than the type with which we are commonly familiar. The release of alien information into the public domain has been a gradual process. I'm convinced that this story will turn what has been a trickle of information up to now into an avalanche of first-level accounts. And this was published...
Sorry.
Like 13 years ago.
There's a candle, but it caught like the mirror and then my glasses, and it looked a lot bigger than what it is.
Did you get spooked?
I was like, fire! There's... So sorry.
So I think it's funny that like even now, like we just had those like... videos that the Pentagon just released about it. So ICE would still say that the government is like trickling the existence of aliens into our daily lives. Okay. So what do I mean by first level accounts? Within the government, there is a core of individuals who not only know of the existence of alien life, but are working with the aliens as a human alien group with several goals in mind. Anyone is or has been a part of that group is considered to be first level.
Okay.
Okay. Personnel who serve in a support function to the first are considered second level, and they are unaware of the link between their jobs and the alien connection. They work within the cover, or as they're called, black missions.
All right.
So in this next section is just going to explain how deep the cover-up goes into this kind of classified mission. In addition, the second level people... are only referred to as second level people by the first level people. So like only the first level people know little bits about the second level people and know that the second level people are second level and that they're not actually first level, which is what they think.
So there are people who are second level who think they are first level, but they're not.
Yes. And only the real first level people know.
All right. This is deep.
This is deep. In writing this story, I had to take certain precautions regarding classified information. I will attempt to make the story as complete as possible, but there will be gaps of information that will seem obvious and somewhat frustrating to the reader. One of them being the sequence of events in relation to where I was stationed. Even though the actual geographical locations of where I had been stationed is not classified, relating them to certain inferences in this book are. This book is not an attempt to undermine the security of our nation. Everything I write in this book is relevant only to my involvement with Project Preserve Destiny, PPD. PPD has nothing to do with national security, but has everything to do with a government who unjustifiably feels the need to protect us from a particular area of alien-gathered information. Referring only to PPD. Other alien projects may be classified for good reasons.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll be surprised to know that PPD is not classified. For clarification purposes, I'm sure there are many alien projects, but we'll refer to PPD for that is the subject of the story. At least not in the traditional sense is it classified, where you would see classified markings on PPD documents. Instead, they have in place what's called the onion effect. Within the center of this onion is the most highly regarded and the highest of classified projects, of which only a handful of people know about, which is level one.
Okay.
The center of the onion always contains the alien projects, of which I'm sure there are many. In most cases, even the commander of a site is not aware of the alien project.
So there's a project that nobody knows about.
There's a project where each, let's say there's five level one people in the project.
Yeah.
Only those five people only have a little snippet of information.
Oh, okay. So together they know the whole thing.
Yes, but
individually they don't.
But they're so classified, they're not allowed to talk to anybody else.
Okay.
So.
All right.
When someone is assigned to an alien project, they are also assigned to the collateral black mission, which is a cover mission. One of the reasons for this is that if someone were to reveal any alien information by extension, they would likely reveal something about the cover project, but it would be on the basis that someone would be prosecuted for divulging classified information.
Uh-huh.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. By setting it up this way, the government is able to effectively silence and discredit someone without ever having to acknowledge the existence of the real alien project.
Okay.
This is why I must be careful in revealing my story. When I first learned of Project Preserve Destiny and my role in it, I was very proud. Imagine finding out that you'd been given the ability to communicate with him on top of it all and to make matters practically unbearable. You knew you wouldn't be able to tell anyone. More importantly, even if you did tell someone, your risk being thought of as crazy. Well, the time has come. It has taken several years of soul searching, and I finally decided to make this story known. After reading this book, an insider account of an alien government cover-up, you'll know why I say take comfort in their presence.
All right.
So.
I'm scared.
Let me tell you, the book is a short little teeny tiny read. It is the smallest book ever.
Listen, sis. Brittany is still upset.
At what?
At this book.
Oh, yeah. I have it in my possession. I've tried to give it back to her, like, 7 times.
She's probably like, girl, I don't want it.
No, but, like, she knows I have it. And I was like, hey, I have this book. And she's like, I want it back. But then we just never make the switch off.
I think she's talked to me about this book probably a handful of times in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This book keeps coming up. And I'm the only one of our tripod who have never read it.
As soon as I unpack it, because I'm getting ready to move. So as soon as I unpack it...
And then I'm going to move.
And then you're... I'll just hold on to it for now.
You put it in the podcast room. And then I'll read it.
Okay.
There.
Okay. Got it. In snippets.
Yeah. Edit a little. Read a little. Edit a little. Read a little.
This book is so in-depth, even though it's so short, that what I'm about to, like, synopsize for you is the... It's barely scratching the surface, okay?
All right.
So... In this book, Sherman recounts being transferred around the northeastern areas of the United States, gaining higher and higher security clearances for some time before being transferred to PPD. But he wasn't told us what it was. As he's relocated, his location's not able to be shared. This wasn't alarming, and it's a really common practice for high-clearance military personnel. He had a really rough childhood. He has no family. He has, like, one distant relative who doesn't know where he is. The beginning of his new assignment kind of starts off like pretty benign, although security protocol was really tight. He had drivers who were military people take him to and from the facility, lay down quarters, basically bamboozled and like turned around so he didn't exactly know where he was.
Ooh. They kidnapped him, but he knew he was being kidnapped.
Yes. Ugh. Yes. It was a lot of paperwork, testing, psychological tests, like brain power tests, like memory tests and like quick math and all these guys, like putting puzzles together and like little silly things like this while he had those like electromagnet like sticky pads, you know, that you put.
This sounds like a superhero movie getting ready to go very wrong.
Yes. Oh, and it goes wrong. Oh, it goes wrong.
This is the X-Men, but yes, no.
But bad, but real. Depending on where you fall. So he didn't really have a schedule, as I recall from reading this book. They kind of just came and picked him up and then took him work, whenever. Surprise napping. He was doing this for 3 years in total.
All right.
So they would take him in whenever the things that he were doing were, like, difficult, per se, just, like, unusual, and it seemed like he was just giving, like, silly, meaningless tasks and, like, paperwork, and it was just, he didn't, like, really understand what was going on. It was just, like, very easy and simple. He didn't understand the clearance.
Sure.
So, one day, the protocol changed, and they led him into a room with nothing but a computer monitor, electrical equipment. Again, he was wired up with, like EKG pads, like sticky pads on his brain.
All the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles. So, on this computer monitor was a solid line, and he was instructed to stare at the line. Familiarize himself with it, try to tune into the frequency of it, think about it, on it, under it, over it. They didn't really tell him anything more than just, like, think about the line. He stared at it for weeks, months, forever. It felt like he just stared at this line. He stared and stared until one day, after focusing all of his mental power on the line, it blipped. It was a small blip. And he didn't really know what was going on at the time, but later claimed that this was the first contact he made with alien intelligence.
Okay. Wow.
So we just reached a vitally important and very unfortunate part in the book, because the next chapter after this explains the mathematical and technological intricacies that explains how he was able to do this.
I don't do math.
I don't. There's a lot of very advanced language regarding frequencies at which our brains operate, radio frequencies, the frequencies of sound and energy in space, in math, like a lot of math. very big, very scary, no real numbers math, like graduate level calculus, had a one night stand with like doctoral trigonometry, and then like tagged team quantum physics into the mix, and they have a love child. I am not equipped to understand, let alone relay, these very in-depth.
I still have to do addition on my fingers.
I get it.
Often.
I had something like checked to make sure I was a human and not a robot on the computer today. Uh-huh. And it was like, what was 13 minus 6? And I had to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still, like, if I'm adding a tip on, I have to count the points of numbers. So, like, a 4, I add the 4 points of the 4 together.
That's what I do, too, aww, when I do quick addition.
It's not quick. It's just addition.
It's quicker than me trying to do addition.
I guess.
It's quick for me.
That's the only way I know how to do it, so I don't think that it's quicker than anything else other than a calculator.
No. Yeah, not really. So,
all right, so we have a bunch of math, much frequency, a lot of vocab words.
There's like sigma and like omega math. And listen, if you are so smart and you're like horny for numbers and abstract concepts, you will love this chapter of the book.
Pass.
Pass. So, intuitive communicators.
Yeah.
That is what this incredibly small and secretive group of individuals are called. The military had been secretly grooming Sherman and the others for years, genetically modifying them as early as when they were fetuses.
So and their parents had to be involved.
Their parents were under the assumption that there was some kind of medical thing going on with them that they needed like additional like vaccines for.
Yeah.
And so they injected them periodically throughout their life with, like, these materials.
But, like, go vaccinate your kids.
Yes. The government is not trying to make your babies interact with aliens. And even if they are, like, that's not bad.
Just let them.
Yeah. I wish somebody would give me a vaccine to, like, hang out with aliens. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you could, like, inject foreign languages in.
Whoa! That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
But it, like, lasts for, like, 3 months. Like, expires with a visa.
I don't want it to expire. I want it to be there forever.
Then you just go get a new vaccine. What if you, like, try on a different language?
Oh, okay. So it'd be, like, changing your hair color.
It's like a Babbel subscription.
Oh, fun.
I love it. Super, super cool. Okay. So, he has been groomed his entire life.
For this.
He recalls how he was, like, aggressively recruited in high school to join the Air Force and how they shuffled him around and he was in...
I'm just thinking about, like, what if somebody came to, like, teeny tiny baby Taylor and Jenny in, like, 17 and 18, and they were like, you're going to go into the military. And we'd be like, don't tell me what to do!
No, I'm not. Those pants do not make me look cute.
Excuse me, I need to go listen to Avril Lavigne and cry. You cannot make me do anything.
You're being, like, really rude, and I tried to make my bed as best as I could. I would not cut it.
I'm glad that they picked who they picked.
Correct, yes. We would not be groomed by the government.
They would be like, send her back.
She keeps asking questions. She just eats donuts and cries. Like, why is she here?
And she doesn't believe anything I say. She's so combative.
Yes.
Yeah. And so also that'll feed me and tell me I'm pretty.
Oh my god. No one's told me I was pretty in at least 2 weeks. I'm very distraught about it.
Oh, you're very pretty.
Oh, thanks.
I was looking joking at
about
you.
Being in the military.
Oh, just kidding.
I feel like nobody in the military tells you you're pretty.
No, they don't tell you you're pretty at all.
No, they tell you you're a worm.
Ugh.
Yikes. Okay. So his entire life, basically, had led him to this moment of him staring at his computer and trying to get the line to blip, trying to manipulate it. With his mind, and it was seemingly more than anything his colleagues were able to do. Although, like I said, this mission or project is so covert that they don't have any contact with each other. He just knows that there's other people there.
Sure.
Also. So not only did he learn how to blip the line, he was soon able to manipulate the line, and then soon he was in contact with extraterrestrial life that kind of reached out to him, and he presumes that the frequency of the radio signals that they use as their line of communication were somehow pulled out of the military's reach because none of his superiors ever like, acknowledge that these conversations were happening. It was like the aliens or the beings that he was communicating with didn't want them to know that he was making such contact
right
with them.
Which is understandable.
Understandable. They kind of, I don't want to say, like, build a relationship, because it's made very clear that they don't have, like, the human emotion
okay.
that we have. They're not drawn, or they're just very matter-of-fact.
They don't have, like, compassion and empathy.
No, absolutely not. They're very cold. The beings claim to be older than our minds can comprehend, because we don't understand time the way that time really is, and it binds us, and we're limited by the type of being that we are. We're presumably they're like fourth dimensional beings, and they can see time outside of what it is. So they start to kind of relay a whole assortment of overwhelming truths to him about the leaders of our world, how they've been informed of this existence of the alien race for generations, and they have provided humanity with, like, the tiniest, idiotest pieces of their technology to help prevent, like, total societal collapse, like, going back and back and back and back time in millions of years.
Fascinating.
Yeah. That they and us are not the only beings, that there are others out there. That we're in contact with more than one of these races. They kind of act as, like, an omnipotent, like, for, they don't really care. They don't interfere with human affairs. It doesn't interest them. They don't have anything to, they just don't care about it. But they stress to Sherman that the human race will inevitably collapse if we as a species do not begin to use the power of the star in our solar system to our advantage.
Okay.
In that we're headed down a path that will definitely end if we are not able to figure out how to use this to feed our planet, heal our planet, energize our planet. And the only hope that we have of, like, lasting prosperity and peace, and that solar power is the only resource that we need. We just need to learn how to utilize it. He was so overwhelmed with this communication with these beings that he eventually asked for a discharge from the military and spent the next years of his life sorting through this new truth. And he eventually wrote Above Black and published the book.
I'm surprised that they didn't erase his memory, the aliens.
Oh. Well, they don't care. The aliens don't care if he comes out of the military and, like, tells a bunch of people. They don't care.
Yeah, but they made sure that his superiors couldn't hear it. Right?
Yeah. But, I mean, if they're making sure that his superiors don't hear it, maybe they, like, want to, like, continue to have that line of communication.
Yeah, maybe.
And they knew that if, like, he was able to communicate with them. Because he was just there to, like, they didn't really put him there to communicate with aliens. They put him there to try to use ESP to be able to manipulate radio frequencies.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. It wasn't. They're already, like, the upper cut of the military is already in contact with these aliens. They don't need him.
Sherman. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, that is, I just have to tell you, go read this book. You can buy it on Amazon. It's, like, $15.
Okay.
It's little, it's, Will, it's horrifying and so factual.
Ooh, that's scary.
It's problematic. Ugh, gives me the heebs.
Ooh, but stories of alien abduction really get me.
Oh, I love those.
They freak me out.
They freak me out too, but in, like, a fun...
I want to listen to them.
Yeah, me too.
But they all freak me out.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about demons too. So, here we are.
Demons just, they don't really, I feel like I have, like, control over the situation. Like, I know the steps that need to happen. I know the signs and the symbols if, like, there's a demon possession happening. Like, I'm a smart, grown woman. I will leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aliens, if I'm like, oh, I think there might be aliens here, I don't know how to act.
Yeah, that, but if demons are real, they've been around for a hell of a longer than you or me. And I'm not convinced that they give a shit about your witchcraft.
Well, I'm not convinced that they... I'm not saying that. I'm saying...
I think if they want to possess you, they're coming through hell or high water.
I don't think so. I think a demon might come to possess me and you'd be like, I would like to give it back.
Okay.
But also, I just don't... I don't invite that type of energy into my life.
Yeah.
I can't foresee any kind of situation where I'm going to be possessed by a demon.
Right. I mean, I don't either.
Like, I could see if I'm in a house, if I am in a house and all of a sudden there's a room filled with 100 flies, I'm calling a realtor and I am selling that house. I'm not staying in the house.
No.
No.
Goodbye forever.
Right. But if I'm sitting in a sitting room and a bright light beams in and I get sucked up into a spaceship, what do I do?
Hope you for the best.
You can't pray. You can be like, please, God, please let me go. They don't care. They're older than God. God's like their kid brother. They don't care.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Accurate. Wow.
So, that's why aliens give me every single heebie-jeebie.
Because we have studiable things, air quotes, about demons. Like, the Vatican believes in demons. Like, that's been around for a really long time, and we have things we can look at and study and know things about. We don't know shit about aliens.
No! There's not one single tool that we have on Earth that will work against an alien. At least if there's a demon, you can get, like, some religious paraphernalia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That holy water.
Yeah. Demons rule out of sheer spite and passion, where aliens are just smarter than us.
I think that might be what's so scary, is that at least, like, demons are filled with, like, hate and lust and all of these, like, emotions that we as humans, like, feel on, like, a smaller scale, mm-hmm. but we still, so we can, like, maybe relate to them and try to understand them. These, like, aliens are cold and calculating, and they don't care. They're just, they just want to cut you up to see what's inside. Like, that's wild.
Yeah. At least, yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to spiral down a rabbit hole.
Yes, we are.
So.
That's all you have for me for aliens?
Avril Lavigne.
I'm scared.
And really intense aliens.
What a good episode.
What a wild.
We hope you enjoyed the ride that is The Little Bit Grim. Please keep your hands and feet in at all times.
Until the ride has come to a complete stop.
Thank you. Please enjoy your day at the Grim Roller Coaster.
The Grim Roller Coaster. Ooh. So, well, thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah.
If you liked it, go rate us on the things.
Yeah, we are on Instagram, Twitter. We have a Gmail.
Facebook
group. If you would like to send us any of your creepy fun stories, you can do that. You can DM us or you can send us an email. Either is fine. The email is alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. And if you just search for A Little Bit Grim on any of the social medias, you'll be able to find us.
Yeah, we're out there. We're out in the world.
And then if you do like us, you can rate us. And if you wanted to leave us a little review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing. But if you don't like us, don't say anything.
Yeah. Well, you can say stuff, but, like, you're going to hurt Taylor's feelings, and she's a sweet baby angel. Don't do that.
I'm very sensitive.
Don't do it to my best friend, Taylor.
I will cry.
She will cry. I'll eat s'mores and laugh. Taylor will cry.
I will spiral very quickly.
Two different people.
Rapidly. Rapid decline.
It is going to be a quick unraveling. And you should
first bad review we get, and I know we're going to get, there's going to be a first one. I know that. I understand mm-hmm. that. There will be a screenshot, and then Jenny is going to have to come to my house
yeah.
and console me. We're going to have to, like, cuddle, watch mm-hmm. Aristocats.
Yeah.
And
I'll bring an apple pie.
Yeah.
We're going to get through it, but, like, if you could just save us the time.
Don't be that one.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't be the first one. It's like a cheese ball at a party. You never want to be the first one to dip the cracker in.
Right. Don't be a Chad.
Don't be a Chad. Don't be a cheese ball Chad. So,
all right.
Thanks for listening.
And goodbye.
Bye.